Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news as Victor Osimhen rejects Manchester United. We want a new week. We want a fresh week. It's going to be like every other week, isn't it? A fresh snub for Manchester United in relation to their striker situation. Fabrizio Romano has also commented on the striker situation, on who we might be moving for as well. We've got a bit of an update on Bruno and Dalot and why they may not be back in training this week. We've also got some stuff on Sancho, Mbeumo and a few other bits as well. But it is the start of a new week. Manchester United are back in training. The transfer window is moving into its second week in July now. Man United will be on tour in a couple of weeks' time, by the way. We are fast approaching a new season and it feels like the transfer window hasn't even got going for Manchester United, doesn't it? But we're going to start off by talking about Victor Osimhen. This is a story that's coming out this morning and we can basically give you the update on what's happening with Osimhen. He's not coming to Man United for a start and he's very highly likely to sign for Galatasaray. So reports coming in this morning from Turkey, funnily enough, that Manchester United do want Victor Osimhen and have asked him about a move to Manchester United, which would involve reduction in wages. However, the striker has rejected this and Galatasaray are set to hold talks this week to finally finalise an agreement. In fact, this is what the Galatasaray vice president had to say about Osimhen. He said, Osimhen must decide as soon as possible. He always asks us for time. We respect that. He has a family too, but time does run out. We've made a much higher offer than European clubs. And at the moment, we are not negotiating for other strikers. We are not thinking about plan B. We want Osimhen. We have already spoken to Napoli too. Our goal is to build a team that can compete with teams from all over the world, not just in Turkey. We must be patient, but we are working day and night. What a brilliant feeling it must be to have a president who comes out and says, we're not thinking about plan B. We're working night and day for this player that we want to build a team around. And also, not only that, they've put into place sponsorships and branding to pay for Osimhen. They're that desperate to get him in. Galatasaray, hardly a European giant, not playing in one of the top five leagues in the world, bending over backwards to bring in Victor Osimhen. And what are Man United doing? Bending over, literally. We are not doing anything. And I think that, Delap, plan A, Gyökeres, plan B. Even if Osimhen was plan C, it's a no. Where are we heading now? Where are we heading now? Fabrizio Romano saying this morning that Calvert-Lewin has been offered to Manchester United. I don't really know what's going to happen with the striker situation. What I do know is that when Galatasaray, and respect to Galatasaray and Turkish football, John Duran's going to the Turkish football as well. I think it's quite an interesting league with Mourinho there and the dynamic between Fenerbahce and Galatasaray. And obviously Ollie's there with Beşiktaş. You know, they're ambitious. But fundamentally, Man United are one of the biggest clubs in the world, behaving like Leyton Orient, with all respect. We're missing out on top players. And the justification is we're in debt. Who put us in bloody debt? The people who are saying we're in debt. You know, it's just not acceptable. And when you're talking about Victor Osimhen to Manchester United, I spoke about this about 3 weeks ago. we were talking about the striker situation and what was actually happening. And obviously, we'd missed out on Dalat. We were still hoping Gyökeres wouldn't go to Arsenal and maybe we could have a chat with him. I mean, basically, what Man United did with Gyökeres is if you're in a bar, right, and there's somebody you quite fancy, but they're already in a conversation with somebody better looking than you, and that person's in a conversation and they're looking around whilst talking to them, you're sort of hoping that they're going to walk away and then you might be able to swoop in. And then they walk off out arm in arm and you think, that's it. That's basically what Man United did. We were just waiting to see if we could pick up what somebody else didn't want. And that hasn't happened. But in relation to Osimhen, the situation has always been, we're interested, but for Osimhen to come to Manchester United, he had to do two things. Basically say he wants United and nobody else, and put forward reasonable wages. That was United's pitch. You've got to say you want us and only us, and you've got to take a reduction in wages. Well, hello. What sort of logic is that? You're trying to buy one of the best strikers in the world, and you're saying to him, you've got to take a reduction in wages. If you're Victor Osimhen, and you're looking at it, and you're going, I like Man United, but have you looked at yourself? It ain't pretty. So you're asking me to risk my prime years of my career to come to you and take a pay cut. Listen to yourselves. You should be saying to me, come here, please. We will pay you a good wage because we're in a bad situation and it'll be worth your while and we'll build together. You can't be saying to me, lose your prime years on a project that will probably fail and don't get paid very good money for it either. Idiots. Absolute idiots. I think we're walking round Europe. We may as well, you know, it's a shame Gary Neville's on holiday, because really, Sir Jim should have got Gary to walk around Europe with the negotiators, just press the button on his back. We're Manchester United. I think that's the only explanation for what our transfer policy is. We're Manchester United. And some people like Osimhen and Cunha will go, yes, it's Manchester United, it's a dream. And some people will go, look at yourselves. I'm not taking a pay cut to come and play for you lot. If you want me, you can pay a fair price. And this is where we're going wrong, because we spoke about this a few weeks ago. If Victor Osimhen's wage demands are 300 grand a week, we should be paying it. We simply should be paying it. And I know this is going to create a debate in the chat. I'm not bothered about that. That's not why I'm saying it. We should be paying the 300 grand a week for Osimhen for this reason. He could put you in the top five. He could put you in the Champions League, and then you're going to earn £100 million for 1 year. So 300 grand a week compared to 200 grand a week is 100 grand a week. So 100 grand a week across a year is 5.2 million. You get 100 million for being in the Champions League. So the difference between paying a striker 200 grand a week and 300 grand a week is 5.2 million pounds. But if you get in the Champions League, you get £100 million. So 5 million compared to 100 million. And we're going, no, we're not paying. We're already paying Bruno 300 grand a week. We're already paying Mount 250 grand a week. We should be there at the front of the queue saying our offer's 300 grand a week and you get to play in the Premier League for Manchester United. That's what we should do. And all these prats out there going, no, I agree with it. We can't pay the silly wages. He either comes here and plays for 150 grand a week or we don't bother. Well, you see what you get for 150k a week. You are paying for a striker. You are paying for somebody to put the ball in the back of the net, and he's one of the best in Europe and he's experienced. 300 grand a week is what we should be dropping on the table. But yet again, we wake up to shit news that Man United would like Osimhen, but it's not their fault he won't take a pay cut. Why should he take a pay cut? Why should he take a pay cut? We should be pitching to him. Why should Brentford drop their price from 60 million for Mbeumo when his price is 60 million? We're walking around with our head in the clouds with ideas of grandeur that make no sense. You can't go to good strikers and say, take a pay cut to come to Manchester United. You can't go to football clubs and say, give us a reduction, we're Manchester United. We're on our arse. We're on our arse. And we need to pay our way out of it. We're not going to get reductions. It's just so stupid. So if plan A was Dalap and plan B was Gyökeres and plan C was Osimhen, we officially are plan D desperation now. We'll have to just wait and see what the week brings. Zlazy says, we knew Gyökeres wanted Arsenal. I understand why, but I'm still sad. I feel he was our last hope for top four. Panic buy FC. Here we go. Last night's show was brilliant. Really, really, really good show. I was thinking about it last night after the show. And I was trying to find a positive around the striker. And I can't find one. I genuinely can't. You know, sometimes you sleep on it and you wake up. I can't find one. I was thinking, if we're on the US tour or we start the season and we've got Ollie Watkins, I hope he does well. But I already feel a little bit like Lukaku when we signed him. I hoped he did well, but I wasn't excited. And I think that's the problem. I haven't got excitement. You know what excites me the most about July? Is seeing that black kit come out. Like Seb keeps talking about it all the time. It looks like a really nice kit. That's the thing I'm most excited about this month. A kit that reminds me of the Sharp ViewCam kit that Cantona wore when he kicked that prat at Crystal Palace. That's the biggest excitement I've got. I'm not excited about this transfer window anymore. And that's really, really sad. Really, really sad. And I hope some of you are excited. I really do, because it's not a good feeling. I am not excited about Man United and the season hasn't even started. And I don't know. I don't think they can change that. I think Mbeumo's a good signing. I think Cunha's a good signing. I think selling some of the players we're trying to sell is correct. But we're not getting a goalkeeper. We're not getting a top striker. We're probably not getting a midfielder. They're not rescuing this transfer window, in my opinion. And I'm not excited. And that's just, you know, that's nobody's fault. That's not Ruben Amorim's fault. That's not the player's fault. That's not your fault. That is the owner's fault, pure and simple. So I just don't feel excited. And also the Mbeumo deal, they've destroyed that. They've took way too long. They're going to take 6 weeks to spend 60 million, which they could have done 6 weeks ago. It's just terrible. I mean, Gotti says Nkunku coming. It doesn't even shock me as much as it would have done a week ago, because that's where we're sort of heading now. We are heading towards the Nkunkus. Like Nkunku, Watkins, Calvert-Lewin, they're all the same sort of thing. I mean, Watkins is the best by a long way, but none of them are like Vlahovic. They're all just not exciting to me. They're not good enough. They're not good enough to take us where we need to be. United transfers. If United would have thought about the 9/11 attack. Okay, we're not going to talk about that, Yell. I wish it was an honour instead of... I mean, look, mate, I don't know how your brain works this morning, but at what point did you think using 9/11 as an analogy against United was going to make people laugh? Come on. Think it through. All talk, no action. Typical Man United, says Kevin. Duma says, Ollie's at the wheel. Let's just get that deal done because things aren't happening as we would have liked. Patrick Lynch says, in principle, wage structures are a good idea, but in this instance, it's a false economy. To challenge for the Champions League places, we need top players, so we need to pay top wages. It's penny-wise, but pound-foolish. I completely agree, Patrick. I'm not totally against. Oh, my God. It's Monday morning. I'm sorry. There's some horrific comments coming in. We've had one about 9/11 and then one I'm not even going to entertain. They're just blocked. Get rid of them. Horrible. Apologies for that. But going back to Patrick Lynch, what a fantastic comment that is. I think you're absolutely spot on. I think a wage structure is absolutely fine within reason. But when you finish 15th in the league and you're absolutely terrible, you can't sit there going, we're going to have a wage structure. You're behind. Principles go out the window. You need to attack. You need to catch up, then you can put your principles in place. You don't start bringing in a strict wage structure, saying things like we only want players that want to play for Manchester United when you're 15th in the league. You're rock bottom. You're going to have to take a few risks. You're going to have to reach and grab things that you maybe don't want to grab. You're going to have to pay a bit more. Like, we're desperate. We're not on the level of an Arsenal or a Liverpool. So you can't sit there with principles going, we're Man United. You've got to actually go out and be aggressive to get back, and then you can say we're Man United. And this is why when I see fans going, I don't want players like Gyökeres who say that they only want to come here if we've got Champions League football. I said this 2 months ago. I ain't got a problem with it. Footballer thinks United is shit and doesn't want to go there because they're not in Europe and have got no bloody chance of being in Europe. You've got to convince them more than we're Man United and we won't give you a good wage. I mean, that's what we're basically doing at the moment. We're walking up to players and agents and going, we're Manchester United. And agents and players are going, you're not in Europe. You're looking like a really, really bad prospect. You don't look like you're going to be in the Champions League for 5 years. And you want my client to take a bloody pay cut. Have a word with yourselves. What you should have done is said, we'll pay you the best wage. come and play for us and you'll get us back in the Champions League and we'll put a load of bonuses in there if you do. What you've actually done is said, we're Manchester United, we want you to take your pay, we want you to take a pay cut. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Marlowe says, the annoying thing is that if United acted more efficiently early in the window, Gyökeres and Osimhen would probably have seen as a better proposition. Now we just like look like amateurs with no ambitions and a bleak future. We're also operating in a transfer window now, Marlowe. It's going to lead to extortion. Like, as somebody said last night, you're operating in the desperation weeks now. Everybody's back in pre-season. Suddenly, these players that were looking for a move come back for pre-season and go, maybe I will stay. You know, maybe Ollie Watkins rocks into Villa this week and goes, maybe I will stay, you know, and then it becomes harder to get them. It becomes more expensive to get them. So, yeah, you know, it's problematic. Can't see us finishing top 10, says Albie. We need that for Slazy. Really fed up with United transfer strategy, says Tillack. I think we cannot rule out deadline day deal for Nicholas Jackson for $65 million.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I was thinking Calvert-Lewin to a Leeds, Burnley and Sunderland, not Manchester United. Wouldn't surprise me one bit, though, if they got him, says Liking Trash. Do you think our lack of signings is potentially due to Amrim considering leaving, having seen what's going on at the club, says KD? There's a bit of a conspiracy around that. I don't think so. I think regardless of the manager, we would have had a crap window. Sadiq has gifted 5 memberships. You're a legend, mate. Thank you very much. So you're saying we should pay $400,000 a week, says Nicholas. At what point is Osimhen's salary $400,000 a week, you Glazer sympathiser? Hi, Mark. I listen to the show on Spotify while I'm at work, but why aren't all shows uploaded? Love from Australia. I don't know, because I don't upload them, Michael. I think the morning show goes up. Isaac's asked the worst question, but the best question. Who is your preferred striker now? Kick a man when he's down. So it's not Osimhen, it's not Gyökeres, it's not Delap, it's not going to be Ekotike. I genuinely don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Like, we've messed this up so bad. I don't know. Mateta, I suppose, would be the one I would go for. Slightly younger, slightly cheaper, 1 year left on his contract. Maybe you get him for $40 million. He does a job for a couple of years. You progress Obi. I'd still keep Rasmus in this situation just so that we've got 3 strikers. Mateta, yeah. But it's not ideal, but yeah, Mateta. I mean, he's not putting us in the top 5, by the way. That's unfair to expect that. But yeah, probably Mateta. What about Sesko? No. I mean, I've got to say Sesko has fucked up big time, hasn't he? You know, you've got a chance of a dream move to Arsenal and Arteta wants you. And now you're at Leipzig and they've bought Gyökeres and your chance is gone. I wouldn't be very happy if I was him. Ad Hawk, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. And Dale Way says, I'm literally losing all hope in United. Still hope for the fan base. Any chance of Mateta? We've not really been linked to Mateta, Dale, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it will be Watkins, but we've not really been linked to him. Just something I wanted to bring in just to move away from the strike situation for a few minutes. This has come in this morning. We don't know how true this is going to end up being, but this is coming in from The Sun. And look, I don't normally take any notice of The Sun when it comes to anything to do with transfers, but this is such a serious topic. I don't want to sort of miss it in case it actually is true. So apparently Manchester United have granted Bruno Fernandes and Dalot an additional week of leave following the passing of Jota. A source said Bruno and Dalot are devastated and in a state of shock after attending the funeral. Manchester United players have surrounded them with support. They've been offered an extra week of leave in addition to psychological counselling sessions and emotional support. Obviously, these are young men, Dalot and Bruno. Well, they're a lot younger than me. And, you know, grief can impact anybody in a very, very bad way. And if they need that, then the club are right to step forward and put that forward. I don't think you can judge anybody on how they react to those sort of tragic instances. And, you know, captain of Manchester United or not, doesn't mean that you're going to be able to just go back to work and deal with the fact that a 28-year-old teammate has died. So those things are obviously very, very serious. And I've mentioned how it might impact Liverpool actually in the short term and those players, but you know, you forget that actually Portuguese international, there will be an impact on other players as well. So yeah, I would imagine that Saturday was a very difficult occasion for everybody. But certainly those who, you know, were close to the player, that sense of shock is still in the world of football, isn't it? So, yeah, if those players are not in the headset, mindset to, you know, pre-season, you're better off giving them some time away, definitely. So whatever those players need, absolutely. Keel Robinson says, pay Osman what he wants in the way he wants, says Keel. I feel bad for Amrim, says Rajaf. It's like hiring Gordon Ramsay and giving him a KFC kitchen and asking him to prepare a meal for the royal family. We should sign Isak, says Mo. Yeah, never going to happen. And I have concerns that Mbeumo will now be the striker signing. Ahmad in the right 10, Dalot at wing back, and the cheap, desperate steals at striker, centre midfield and goalkeeper, says James Cave. Nicholas Lamcori says, at what point isn't it with Turkish tax to match them? It would be 400k. At what point? Yeah, but Nicholas, for the second time, you're talking like you are working on the deal for Osman. You don't know what the deal is. You don't know what the money is. You don't know what it involves. And you don't know what Man United offered. My point is, Manchester United are very good at the moment. What's happening with Mbeumo? You can't deny on this. You can't say this is wrong. Look at Mbeumo. 6 weeks. We won't pay the 60 million price. We're still negotiating. So you can imagine what shit deal we've offered Osman, if we've offered one at all. And what I'm saying is, the difference between 200 grand a week and 300 grand a week is £5 million a year. The difference between no European football and Champions League football is £100 million a year. At what point do we stop being run like a bloody Excel spreadsheet and start running ourselves like a football club and realise to get back in the Champions League, you're going to have to spend money? This is the World Football Elite Club Tournament now, and you get paid a lot of money for being in it. If you want to be in it, you can't sit there and go, we're Manchester United. We've won this tournament 3 times before. We're Manchester United. We're one of the biggest football club supported teams in the world. We're Manchester United. We should be in the Champions League. We're exactly what we were moaning about the Super League. Teams should not be in there on merit. You should be in there on ability. So... how are we going to get in the Champions League, Nicholas? You're arguing about wages, but how are we going to get in the Champions League? Because I'll tell you very, very simply, we're not getting in the Champions League on a wage structure that won't allow us to buy good players. And you might not like that, but I don't know at what point United fans became Glazer disciples. I couldn't give two shits about Excel spreadsheets or wage structures. We need a team that's good enough to get in the top four. And I look at the likes of Zubimendi and Wirtz and Gyökeres and Frimpong and them going to rivals of teams that are already better than us. And then I see certain people moaning, well, we can't give him 300 grand a week.
I'd rather have Calvert-Lewin.
Well, don't bloody moan next season when you go and hammer him out. We need... It's the most obvious thing to do in this situation is buy as many good players as you can. And they come at a price. You don't. What you don't do when you finish 15th and you want to get back into Champions League is start buying people that are cheap and fit in with your wage structure. You've got to take a risk. Otherwise, you're going to fall into oblivion for a very, very long time. So, look, even if you pay a player 200 grand a week and you pay them 400 grand a week, 200 grand a week across 52 weeks is 10 million quid. I'm not saying we should give someone 400 grand a week, but what I'm saying is people go, you can't give them 400 grand a week. But the difference between 400 grand a week and 200 grand a week is 200 grand a week. Which is 10 million across a year. If you get in the Champions League, it's 100. So this is what I mean. People go, oh, we can't pay 300 grand a week for a player. Depends who the bloody player is. Don't give Jadon Sancho 300 grand a week. But you might want to consider giving someone like Osimhen 300 grand a week and building in. I mean, to be honest with you, I would give Osimhen 300 grand a week and I would say you can have another 5 million if we get into the Champions League. Because I'd be thinking the difference between not being in the Champions League and being in the Champions League is very, very big. You incentivize things. But I don't know what's happened to some of our fans over the last few years. It's like they've actually swallowed what the Glazers put out there about debt and finances. And as we were talking about last night, people talk about what Berarda talks about and what Sir Jim talks about. Even Amrim talks about suffering and we've got no money and this, that and the other. Man United could sell their women's team tomorrow for 200 million quid. But you'd have to have 200 million quid to put it in. Chelsea had an owner that's got the 200 million quid and they need to find a way to get it in. So they sell the bloody women's team to themselves. Ineos could do that. But they don't want to put £200 million in. And there seems to be people in our fan base who haven't figured this out. They just go, what's the gym supposed to do? What's the gym supposed to do? He can't do anything. It's FFP and PSR. No, there are loopholes to get the money in. He just don't want to put money in. And the reason he doesn't want to put money in is because he only owns 28%. And the Glazers never will put money in. So even if it just can't happen. If Sir Jim Ratcliffe had bought all the club, he might do what Bowley's doing. He might, I mean, he might not, but he would have the option of doing it. But it's just, this whole relationship between the Glazers and Ineos is ridiculous because they'll never put money into the club now. It will never happen. We won't try and be creative. Man United is a car with no engine, says Prank. Jokeres to Arsenal is on Amrim, screwing that final up, says Hans. I'm willing to bet that they never thought of losing the Europa League final and that was the only plan, says Suspect. 333. Mario says, we need to just offer him 300k a week to get Osimhen. We are not in a position for a wage structure. We just need to offer anything and everything we need experienced, says Mario24. You know what? The funny thing is as well, talking about like, oh, I wouldn't give Jokera, I wouldn't give Osimhen 300 grand a week. How much do you think it's going to cost us now? What do you actually think is going to happen with the striker situation now? Because Fabrizio Romano said, I think it was this morning or late last night, that Calvert-Lewin has been offered to Manchester United. So imagine Man United go, oh, God, we haven't got plan A, we haven't got plan B, we haven't got plan Z, we need a striker. And Amrim goes, just get me fucking Calvert, just get me something. Get me Calvert-Lewin or a traffic cone, just get me something. And Wilcox goes, well, yeah, we don't need a traffic cone, we can get you Calvert-Lewin. Get me Calvert-Lewin's agent on the phone. You get on the phone to Calvert-Lewin's agent and he goes, you go, what were you being paid at Everton? 100 grand a week. So 120 grand a week? No. Well, 110? No. What do you want? 175. Oh. Oh. Okay. We thought because, like, you know, we're desperate and you're free that you'd be cheap. No. Oh, he wants 175k a week. He wants a £5 million signing on fee. And I want £2.5 million as the agent. Oh. Can we negotiate for a few weeks? We can negotiate as long as you like. We're not changing that. See you later. And this is what people don't realise now. Not only do you not get your top three or four targets, you also don't get it easier with the desperation signings. If you pick up the phone to Villa now and you say Ollie Watkins, they go, wow, it's pre-season now. we were going to keep Watkins. We haven't got a striker ourselves. So if you want him, it's £50 million. Okay. Get me Sellers Park. Yeah, yeah. We really like Mateta, do you? So do we. Yeah, season's about to start, isn't it? He's our striker. We're in the Europa League, so £50 million. Oh God. Ruben, you know that about that traffic cone. So this is what people don't realise. It's not only the depression of not getting our top three or four striker targets, it's the fact that everybody else we're gonna have to pay for. And Calvert-Lewin will get a signing on fee of a few million wherever he goes. His agent will get a fee wherever he goes. And his wage demands will be bigger because he's a free agent as well. There's no transfer fee. So Calvert-Lewin's going to be on at least 150k a week now, wherever he goes. And he's got hamstrings like breadsticks. So we're into that desperation area as well, aren't we? So yeah, it becomes problematic. Look, could it be a big week for Manchester United? Just to digress and move a little bit.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So, yeah, look, Jadon Sancho and Juventus, some people are saying that that's going to happen. Look, Jadon Sancho leaving Manchester United just needs to happen. I don't think anybody even likes talking about Sancho because I feel like we got rid of him last summer and then we found out it wasn't an obligation to buy. So if we can remove Jadon Sancho from the club, that would be great. Whether it can happen this week or not, I don't know. Fearon says he's got hamstrings like cheese strings. So, yeah, look, Sancho might happen. Obviously, a lot of these players are not going to be back in pre-season today. Rashford, Garnacho, Malacia, Antony, Sancho. So it's in their interest to get things moving. We've also got the Mbeumo story that's still going on. I mean, you would have thought, after what's happened over the weekend with Gyökeres, that Manchester United would be going, we need a here we go today to spin a positive on a fan base that's really pissed off. And we need to sell kits, but I don't know when the away kit's coming out. I've always said that's probably when Mbeumo will officially be announced. So I would think that there will be some movement on Mbeumo at some point, but that deal, I'll be honest, the only comment I've got about the Mbeumo on the Mbeumo deal is that I'm actually really surprised by how long it's took. I mean, we always joke and say, oh, you know, United, they take 5 or 6 weeks, but we actually do take 5 or 6 weeks. And I'm actually shocked about how long it's taken to negotiate a situation that looked very, very straightforward in relation to what Brentford wanted, which is 60 million quid. And it just feels like United have got themselves into a position now where they're trying to save face. They're trying to. I don't know what they're trying to achieve, really. In very, very quick summary, because we all know his price is 60 million. We've never offered 60 million. We've offered 45 and 55 with add-ons. And it seems like United are just trying to prove a point that we didn't pay 60 million. So I almost think they'll get to a point where they offer 59. So that could be more delays. So I don't know what we're trying to achieve. I really, really don't. He should be at Carrington today, training with the rest of the team. If Inter are looking at Rasmus, should we look at Thuram or Martinez, as Brandon? I mean, you make a good point. I always felt that if we bought Osimhen or Gyökeres, I would be keeping Rasmus or bringing in a second striker anyway. We seem to have changed to, we're not going to get a decent striker, but let's still sell Rasmus. So Rasmus goes and you get Thuram, or Rasmus goes and you get Vlahovic, or Rasmus goes and you get Watkins. I don't think that improves us. We need two strikers. And unless Obi's going to be ready at 17, which is a big ask, I think this the whole striker situation has become utterly depressing, really. I can't help thinking we'll end up with Sterling, says Keel. I don't think anything's off the table now. I don't. Nkunku, Calvert-Lewin, Sterling, Vardy, nothing would shock me now. What about Ramos from PSG? Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you can't say no now because all the good options are gone. You can't hold out for Gyökeres or Osimhen. You can't. They're all gone. Should have took Jonathan David when we had the chance, says Drew. Can't sell, can't buy. Liverpool just lost a star player, still 100% stronger than us. Dire times, says Junkyard James. Thank you very much. Van Hal says Tony J. Burton. Van Hal's words ring out that we're a commercial club. Sadly, our owners prioritise merchandise and sponsorship over football like Spurs do. Well, I saw something the other day that apparently this week there is some sort of, you might have even had an invite yourself. There is some sort of forum or input talks going on around the new stadium this week. I mean, what idiot arranged that in July during a transfer window? I mean, surely this is something you should be doing in April or September. But yeah, it is what it is. Chelsea have spent $500 million in the last two seasons, whatever it takes to win. So United have FFP issues, but Chelsea don't. It's bizarre, says Jacob. Look, Jacob, never fall for PSR or FFP as an excuse. Loads of clubs have got that problem that they just sort it out. Talk That Real says, what about Ekitike? You do realise Ekitike will cost money. You can't just go from that to that. I think Ekitike will end up at Liverpool anyway. Ilya says, I don't know why we are stressing. We knew the summer would be terrible after losing the final. We should just firm it. Club is a sinking ship, says Ilya. Sunderland are having a better window than United, says Matthew Robertson. I don't even know what Sunderland have done, but I guarantee they probably are having a better one. What about a hard reset, says Rory? Back to old school academy United and bin off the expensive signings, much longer term project. What old school project? What old school? So what? Back to old school Academy United. You do realise we've never been Academy United. What academy are you talking about? Because if you're talking about the class of 92, we were still spending money and we still had more than half the team that was experienced winners. So I don't know what academy thing you're talking about, really. Jadon Sancho is closer to agreeing on personal terms with Juventus. Man United want around 26 million and Juventus are considering offering 21.5 plus add-ons. I don't know how we're getting £21 million for him and his wage. I mean, all I'll say about Jadon Sancho, couldn't give a toss, not interested in transfer, but really interested to see how the deal works because they keep talking about us getting money, which for me is great. We were beyond repair the moment Sir Jim joined and not Qatar, says Vozak. Glazers put the Super League idea forward because they knew we would end up so crap we'd not qualify through the league, says Anders. And do you think the United board are actually your fans and just love you ranting with their pants down, rubbing one out, says Unsocial. Really weird. A few weird ones this morning. Luke82 says, not ideal, but do you think Rasmus and Obi will have a better season with Cunha and Mbeumo behind them rather than a greedy Rashford and Garnacho? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But I don't. Do you think that they will have a good enough season to put us in the top five? I think we have to be in the Champions League next year. I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few weeks. And I think quite rightly, there's a lot of United fans going, we've got no chance of getting in the top six. And you're probably right. But I'll just say it now. Like, we've got to be in the Champions League next year. We can't mess about anymore. We can't mess about. We have to be in the top five next year. We won't be in the top five next year, but we have to be because the gap's getting too big. As I said yesterday, the gap is just getting bigger and bigger. Next summer, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City will be spending another 150 million, knowing that they've earned another 100 million more than everybody else. We have to be in the Champions League next year. We're not going to be, but we have to be. And I don't think Rasmus and Obi are going to be the strikers that get us there, unfortunately. Are we really surprised that we're not going to get... Slow Sports News says, are we really surprised that we are not getting the players we want? We need sales to make up for our mistakes and make up for mental wages. And once again, McElvis says, once again, the foundations of a manager's failure are being laid in the summer. It happens every year. Well, that's true. Keel says, chances are they sack Amrim and keep Rashford and co. And look, I thought about saying this on Saturday, but I didn't want to annoy everybody. If I was a gambling person and somebody gave me good odds at the moment, I'd put a tenner on Rashford being here longer than Amrim, right here, right now. And I know it seems ridiculous and I might get decent odds of like 10 to 1, but I'd put a tenner on that at the moment, that Rashford's actually outlasts Amrim. And I know a few things need to happen for that to happen, but what if Rashford goes on loan and Amrim's sacked by Christmas and then the next manager says, come back? So I don't think it's beyond, I really don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility. And that's how horrific this football club is now. Because you could logically say, I can see Rashford outlasting Amrim. Obviously, if he goes on a proper deal this summer, he won't. But nothing would surprise me now. Nothing would surprise me. I don't agree, but I see Rashford at striker next year, says Henry. I really don't. If Amrim put Rashford back in this team, he may as well sack himself. He looks like an... Even I would say it. If Amrim brings Rashford back, he looks like the weakest manager we've ever had. And he may as well resign. Like, he would look... That would be, we may as well change our name to Rashford United, because the manager would have lost all power in front of the whole world. So I can't see that happening. Arshad, I'm not going to talk about, there's a few weird comments this morning for a Monday. I don't really know what it's on about. The problem, how long will it take to get a striker, says Sadiq. Ray Carl Brown-Amory, hope you're doing well this morning, Ray. Says, I congratulate the club on that. Both Bruno and Delo are young men around Jota's age, and it's devastating, and they do need time. Well, the club's always been quite good at that. I mean, remember, Jadon Sancho wasn't injured. We gave him 3 months off in a big season. So, I mean, look, the club's run badly, but I'd be very surprised if they weren't looking at, you know, supporting people who are struggling mentally. I mean, that just goes without saying. AFCON period worries me with Osimhen and if Mbeumo. Well, don't worry about Osimhen, Paul, so that's not going to happen. I would go for Samu from Porto if the price was right, says Isaac. And why are we acting like we can even afford a striker without selling Garnacho or Rashford? There's a reason why we're penny pinching for Mbeumo, says Chuff Bridge. Wage is about £215. Surely 275 would do, Osimhen, says Methane Man. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the actual figures are in relation to that. To be honest with you. Sorry, I've just been told something here. I just want to just double check before we move on. No, that was not it. Yeah, that source on Sancho's crap, by the way, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does sign for Juventus this week. Somebody was saying, what do you think about the Ugarte hate? Apparently put a post out yesterday and a load of people were getting in on him. Look, unfortunately, we've got some very vile people in our fan base who turned on him straight away and gave him a nickname. I don't think these people are real. I think they're doing it for clicks and likes. I think that's what they're doing. I don't think they actually support Manchester United, really. I just think it's all a big game for them, because they're supporting your football club and then they're just creating toxicity. And I don't really understand what Ugarte ever did wrong. Maybe they didn't want to sign Ugarte, but I don't understand what he ever did wrong. He was brought in without a pre-season. He had a reasonable first season, a few ups and downs. He doesn't come across as a knobhead, and yet we've got people in our fan base that just give him shit all the time. And I think, you're not really United fans, are you? Because you've never given him a chance, and that's not what this fan base is all about. I never wanted Fellaini. I gave him a bloody chance. I don't want an honour. He's been given 2 years. So I don't really understand the Ugarte stuff. And look, Resto says he's not good enough. That's not what we're talking about, mate. We're talking about the abuse and the fact that no one's ever given him a chance. And last time I checked, you're not Pep Guardiola or Ruben Amorim. You're just a guy with a YouTube account saying he's not good enough, the same as I'm sat here. You know, your opinion, this is a new player. he's had a difficult first year, and you're sat there saying he's not good enough, like you're the oracle. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that he has a really good second season. And also, I think every signing should be given 2 years. What world is it that we write players off before they've played a game or 6 months? Every signing needs 2 years. There's so many examples of players that start badly and end up being good. Evra, Vidic, Gravenberch at Liverpool, Fabinho at Liverpool. These players had bad starts. And also, we're not buying anybody else anyway. So it's that petulance and waste of oxygen that people moan about something that we're just not going to do. It's like people who say sell Dalot. What a waste of time that is. We're not selling Dalot. So you're just moaning about, you're creating an issue that's not an issue because it's not going to happen. And whether it should happen or not, it's not going to happen.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Nick P says, I really want Amrim to pull a Jose on tour. And I really read that as I really want Amrim to pull off Jose on tour, which I just realised I did read back to you, which it wasn't what was said. So Nick P says, I really want Amrim to pull a Jose on tour and let us know the season is done. I didn't get my targets. Sadly, I think he's more likely to be a yes man now. Mentioned this a couple of times. Erik ten Hag in his first year, very vocal, very, we need to do this, we need to do that. Second year came back, timid, diluted company man. Amrim, very vocal, very good relationship with the fans up until the end of the season. Let's find out what Amrim we get now, because I think he needs to keep the fans, because there are fans that aren't with him. The media isn't with him. And if he comes back a Glazer guy, he'd be gone. He'd be gone very quickly. He's got to keep the fans on board, because you can't trust those owners. What quality strikers would be available in January next summer? Says Nick. What's the relevance of that? You know, I mean, you remind me of the journalists on September the 1st who put the article out when we've had a shit window. Next summer, you're not. I mean, Lookhurst does it every year on September the 1st. Next summer, Man United are going to buy half the Real Madrid team. It's just spin. What does it matter about January next summer? This summer's open now. With the players that have left and the players that will leave after that. Shane says, with the players that have left and the players that will leave, will that over 70 million a year saved on wages? Why can't we get a top striker, says Shane? And John says, by Christmas, odds are we'll be in the same boat searching for a new coach. Meanwhile, Chelsea spend, get fined, don't care, and just keep spending more. According to Sport Bild, Bayern has agreed personal terms with Diaz. This is the United stands, not Liverpool. Sadiq, oh, that's football. We might talk about it on there. This is the business we prefer to do in the summer, says Yanni. Yeah. Yeah. In January, United will say, we don't do business in the January transfer window because we prefer to do it in the summer. And in the summer, they don't do it. If we were the best team in England and needed another striker, Osman is the type of quality we'd go for. To refuse him where we are now is crazy, says Ian Tracy. Swap Sancho for Vlahovic, worth the punt, said, who said that? Henry. Thank you very much. KD says, have you seen that Ineos made year-on-year losses from 2023, and this is due to debt financing? Owners can put personal funding into a business, but seems our owners don't and won't. Very concerning. Thank you very much for that, KD. Retue Golden Boot winner, Atalanta, says Stephen. Not linked to him. Rash race. Then again, you don't know. We might pivot to something we've not been linked to now. As I said, I think Mateta is about as good as it gets now. Tony says, United are like the emperor in the emperor's new clothes, strutting around town with their chest out like the big I am, where in reality, everyone can see their for them for what they are while sniggering and laughing. Says Tony, thank you very much. I really want, I haven't done that one from Nick P. Blahovic time, 1 year left on his contract. I don't get this Blahovic obsession. And if we sign him, I hope he does well. But I'm going to say from day one, I think he'll be a flop. I don't get it. I don't get it, but there are a lot of you in the chat that are obsessed with Vlahovic. I don't think he's all that. In a summer where there are so many strikers available and so many people want strikers, nobody's looking at him. I don't think he's all that at all. I think he's a hipster's pick. I don't think he's all that. But if we go for him, I hope he does really, really well, because we 100% do need a striker. But I'd go Mateta now. But even that's not going to excite me at all. I mean, I look at the striker situation at Manchester United and it's incredible. It's incredible how we've dropped the ball so big. You've got plan A, Delap, playing for Chelsea. You've got plan B, Gyökeres at Arsenal. You've got probably plan C, Osimhen, who we won't pay the wages for, so he's probably going to go to Galatasaray. You've got Ekitike, who's too expensive. So we're on plan E already. Or actually, can we go back to plan D? Because it's plan desperation, as I've said many times before. This is just unforgivable from Manchester United. I mean, we are a football club that can't score goals. We can't score goals. We've had our worst ever Premier League season, our worst ever Premier League points total by a huge distance. And we've gone into a summer transfer window, having lost the cup final to Spurs. Nobody loses cup finals to Spurs. So we're lower than low. We have a crap Premier League season. We lose a cup final to Spurs. Spurs sacked their manager for winning the cup final. That's how crap we must be. We then go into a summer transfer window where the striker is the absolute essential thing. Even we know we've probably got Onana in goal next year. I mean, has anybody ever thought about that? Onana's going to be in goal next year. So we know he's going to mess up and let loads of goals in. So not only do we need a striker, we really need a striker because we know who's in goal. So we need goals. And what are Man United doing? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The most important signing of the summer, and they're doing nothing. And on top of that, this position that's so important, plan A, B, C, D, forget it. So whoever we get, the whole world knows and the fan base knows, this is not even Amrim's top four. So this essential position that we have to buy, we're not even going to get one of Amrim's top four targets. And this is the position that's going to make or break our season. Because goals, surprise, surprise, breaking news, goals win games. And United are there, scratching their arse, negotiating for 5 weeks for a £60 million player that is £60 million, and we can't afford to do that either. It's shambolic. It's so shambolic, but the striker thing symbolises the real issue at Manchester United. The two big positions were striker and goalkeeper. We're not changing the goalkeeper, so goals are going to go in. The striker will score the goals and we're not even going to get one of our top four targets. So excuse me for being a little bit concerned about where Man United are heading. And on top of that, you just know it could be anyone from Jamie Vardy, Nkunku, Calvert-Lewin. I mean, look, I don't really want Ollie Watkins, but if we start negotiating with Villa for Ollie Watkins, we might get that deal done by 2030. At which case he'll be 35 and it's not worth it. So I'm stunned. I'm stunned by the striker situation, apart from the fact that this football club has turned into an Excel spreadsheet with a bunch of wallies walking around, tapping their fingers on calculators, trying to figure out interest rates. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Football is so simple. It's simple. You score more goals than the opposition and you win the game. And the more games you win, the higher you finish in the league. And the higher you finish in the league, the more money you earn. And if you finish in the top four, you get £100 million more than everybody else. So if Osimhen did want £300k and you only want to pay £200k, that difference of 100K a week over a year is £5 million. 100K times 52 is 5.2 million. You get 100 million for being in the Champions League, and United are going, yeah, we'll give you 200K, but we're not giving you 300K because we've got a wage structure. You absolute idiots. You absolute morons. A striker like that could get you in the Champions League and earn you £100 million and make you relevant again. You're saving 5 million by not paying 300K and paying 200K, but you don't get him anyway. You're idiots. Absolute bloody idiots. You've got to spend to be successful in football now. Where United fans go wrong, some of them, they go, well, we've spent 10 years spending. How did that go? We spent badly. It's not the spending that's the problem. We spent badly. We spent £1 billion and we may as well have put it on a bloody bonfire. It's not spending money that's the problem. Real Madrid win Champions Leagues by spending money. Man City have won multiple Premier League titles from nowhere by spending money. Chelsea have won two Champions Leagues and multiple Premier League titles from nowhere by spending money. Liverpool have just spent over £100 million on Wirtz by spending money. There is this strange, weird nonsense around United that, well, we've tried spending money and that didn't work. No, we've tried spending money badly. Maybe we should spend money better. If you go and spend 300 grand a week on one of the world's best strikers, fine. That's the sort of thing you should do. And if it goes wrong, I think we'd all sit there and go, that was unlucky. The problem is spending ridiculous money on players that aren't bloody worth it. It's a mess. Absolute mess. Best in class, my arse. Robert McCormack says there's got to be a reason no one wants him, though. Robert, that's probably the worst comment you've come out, and it's only Monday. What? No one wants Osimhen. Well, they do. They do. There's literally four or five teams that want him. It doesn't actually fit any Premier League club apart from us. He wouldn't suit Liverpool's system. Arsenal want Gyökeres or Sesko. Man City don't need a striker. And Chelsea won't buy anybody over 23. So if you're trying to say Premier League clubs are avoiding him, actually, he doesn't suit them. Newcastle don't need him. Villa can't afford him. So that's why he's not going to another Premier League club. Is there any chance that if we don't get a striker this summer and get Mbeumo, that he'll play the striker? Well, of course there is, Liam. There's a chance that Rasmus will stay or Xerxes will play. Striker is the difference between 6th and 15th, says Garfield. As I said to you a few minutes ago, I think for me, when I look at United at the moment, I'm just very disappointed and very disillusioned, and I'm not excited. And many of you probably will still be excited, and I think that's great, but I agree with Garfield. I think the priority position for me was a striker. And I think if you got an Osimhen or a Gyökeres, I'd have been excited and gone, you know what? We're absolutely shit, but there's hope. If they hit the ground running, they could fire us into top five. I don't see that now. I can't see any signing they're going to make that's going to make me go, we can get in the top five race. I just can't see it at all. Maybe sixth, maybe seventh, but I can't see it now. I think the fire's gone out on that hope. I hope I'm wrong on that, but I really do. Remember when people were saying Xerxes wasn't good enough? Second half of the season, he turned it round, says Steve. Yep. I'm more worried about the goalkeeper situation. If Onana plays another season like the last, we'd be in a relegation battle, says Patrick. Thank you very much. Okay, look, I could go on for hours. I've realised I've just done an hour, 10 a.m. show, and I normally do 45 minutes. So great show this morning. Thanks for the conversation. Look, we might still be talking about Mbeumo on Friday. Something somewhere needs to start happening with United. It's another week that we're heading into. I mean, we'll probably just get an interview with Amrin, won't we? But something needs to happen. Do you not reckon United should give Xerxes another chance, as Joe? Not up front. I don't think he's a striker. Play him as a 10. I don't think he's a striker. Thanks everyone for watching. I'll speak to you all later.
The
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.